In 2006, when my daughter was living in Oberlin, Ohio with her best friend Stacy, a feral cat from one of the early trap-neuter release programs was hanging out in their backyard, killing birds. Katie and Stacy's landlord enforced a strict no-pet policy, and the girls didn't know what to do. But when I was visiting them, we hatched a plan. Maybe, just maybe, I could lure the kitty into my car with a can of cat food and drive 800 miles home with it. Yes, this was a stupid plan, but no, it didn't turn out the way one might expect. The cat did not want to be touched and was naturally suspicious of me, but when I held an open can of cat food out to her, she instantly followed me and jumped into the car when I set the can on the passenger seat. I quietly closed the door behind her as she started chowing down. I got into the driver's seat and quietly closed my own door. It was a Prius, so there wasn't any noise when I started the engine and backed out of the driveway. I just drove around the block. This was a preliminary experiment, and pulled back into the driveway right as the cat was finishing up. When I opened my own door, I thought she'd bolt. But no, she stayed in the passenger seat, licking her paws as she looked all around at what she seemed to take as her new mobile home. I had not seriously entertained the idea that this was going to work out easily. I was fully conscious that this was a feral cat. We knew it was worthless to bring her to the animal shelter because they'd just turn her back over to the trap neuter release people and she'd be out killing birds within a day or two anyway. But someone had to take responsibility for her well-being and that of birds and chipmunks. And luckily, she was young, with more optimistic feline curiosity than fear. Katie and Stacy followed me the 10 or 15 miles to the entrance of the Ohio Turnpike, just in case they needed to take her back. And then, there we were, me and a feral cat in a small car tooling along the Ohio Turnpike. She walked onto the center console and to the back seat and then back onto my luggage where I could see her through my rearview mirror. She seemed to like looking out at the cars and trucks behind us. Some of those drivers noticed her, too. The entire long car ride, including an overnight in Chicago with my sister, who was in the late stages of cancer, so the cat had to spend that whole night in the car, and a second overnight with a friend from college where she did get to come inside, went just as well. This was no generic cat. I was shocked at my good luck. Every cat we've ever had was miserable in the car and made car rides miserable for everyone else, too. And this cat was suddenly no longer nameless. She was Casey. I'd smushed Katie and Stacy's names together for her. Casey always looked to me as her main human. A year and a half later, when I took my job at Cornell, she made the 1,200-mile journeys back and forth with me and my little dog Photon, and every car ride was just as easy with her company, making it more pleasant. Over the years, she put in a good 30,000 miles in the car. Once I was home for good, and after Russ's mom moved in with us in 2012, Casey stayed just as easygoing and fun. A few years ago, Casey developed lymphoma. For a while, it looked like we'd lose her immediately. She couldn't hold down any food at all without vomiting violently, and her pupils were fixed and dilated. But after the immediate emergency treatment, she responded well to weekly shots of vitamin B12 and steroids. Even after she learned that her weekly trip to the vet would involve a shot, the moment I pulled out the pet carrier, she'd still walk right in. She looked sleeker again and was back to her old playful self. She made so much progress that after many months, I started giving her the medications orally. Even though her pupils remained fixed and dilated, she could see well enough to stare out the windows at my feeders and to play with us. It was a lovely reprieve from the inevitable. But in the past few months, she started losing weight again, and this time nothing worked. we bid her farewell on October 27th. We'll never get another cat. Russ was never a cat person to begin with, and I'm badly allergic. But Casey was irreplaceable anyway, and I'll never forget her. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.